From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Basic Christianity. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find the Apostle thanking God for certain characteristics of the Colossian believers. He mentions their faith in Christ Jesus, the love which they had to all the saints, and the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. Three particular words stand out in these verses: faith, love, and hope. These represent the foundational truths of true Christianity. The starting point is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith which grows as we commune with Christ in His Word and through prayer. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Commonest Things Blessed. The text is Exodus 23 and verse 25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. What a promise is this! To serve God is in itself a high delight. But what an added privilege to have the blessing of the Lord resting upon us in all things! Our commonest things become blessed when we ourselves are consecrated to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus took bread and blessed it. Behold, we also eat of blessed bread. Jesus blessed water and made it wine. The water which we drink is far better to us than any of the wine with which men make merry. Every drop has a benediction in it. The divine blessing is on the man of God in everything, and it shall abide with him at every time. What if we have only bread and water? Yet it is blessed bread and water. Bread and water we shall have. That is implied, for it must be there for God to bless it. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy waters shall be sure. With God at our table, we not only ask a blessing, but we have one. It is not only at the altar, but at the table that He blesses us. He serves those well who serve Him well. This table blessing is not of debt, but of grace. Indeed, there is a trebled grace. He grants us grace to serve Him, by His grace feeds us with bread, and then in His grace blesses it.
Jesus came to earth a child.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we are very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What is the unpardonable sin? Or, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
get a wee bit worried when all these PhDs and all the rest of it lose their logic. They foist themselves as scholars on an unsuspecting world, and then they throw logic out the window. You either believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. And this learned cleric told us, I actually happen to believe the virgin birth. He made it sound like it was a compliment to God that he believed it. But it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. After all, there are only two Gospels that tell about the virgin birth. Well, Mark doesn't tell us about any birth. So why is that introduced? It's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I wonder what on earth Hebrews 10 means then when it says, a body thou hast prepared me. I wonder what it means then when Paul says to the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law. As if there were something miraculous in that. This cleric said, the church, now we come to Presbyterian popery. The church, in its wisdom, has never said that you must believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. Who ever gave the church the right to say anything about what you had to believe to be a Christian? It's not the church, it's the Bible. Let me tell you, of course, he's not the only one. Some years ago, Billy Graham made exactly the same kind of statement. He believed in the virgin birth, but it doesn't really matter. If you don't believe it, you can still be a Christian. So Jesus Christ can be a bastard son. That's the real implication. He was either virgin born or a bastard son, according to which, by Old Testament law, he had no right even to enter in to the temple of God. Doesn't matter. What are we talking about? There are things that matter. And if one verse in the Bible clearly states a truth, I don't believe there's any fundamental of the faith that is dependent on one verse in the Bible. But if even one verse in the Bible makes a statement clearly and plainly, I am bound to believe it. I don't come to this book as a critic of the book. I come to this book to be criticized by the book. I am not the judge of the book. The book is the judge of me. I am not the establisher of truth. I am here to find what God has established as truth. I could go down the line in many other great doctrines. Anytime anybody adds works to grace, they're subverting Christianity. When they make works in any way, to any degree, at any level, pre-conversion, at conversion, or post-conversion, a means of contributing to a man's acceptance with God, that is a departure from the gospel. It's not Christian. Anybody who thinks he's saved by a mixture of grace and works is a Galatian, not a Christian. And Paul puts his condemnation in such, not his approbation. I could go on down the line about the precious blood of the redeeming death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the propitiation made in that blood, the expiation of our guilt. These are things that are central to the gospel. This faith is marked by soundness of belief. It is a believing in a particular body of revealed truth. This faith always has Christ for its object. Watch this very carefully. It is faith in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. That is, it focuses upon His person, upon His work, and upon His offices. Now, you'll notice how kind I am to you all this morning. I'm letting you out before Christmas, because those are three little statements, but those are three huge points. You could hang a whole series of sermons at every one of them. Faith focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, deity and humanity, without any admixture, without adding to or taking from His eternal deity, which is an impossibility, without humanizing His deity or deifying His humanity. Two distinct natures in one perfect and indivisible person forever. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, possessed of all the attributes of deity, and yet as man possessed of all the attributes of humanity. Sinless, spotless, pure, and holy. The person of Christ. The work of Christ. The offices, prophet, priest, and king, making Him our mediator. Faith focuses upon Christ, and for acceptance with God and access to God, faith knows no merit but Christ. How often have we sung the words, I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Faith is in Him. But look again at that little phrase. This faith is in Him. Just change the emphasis. In other words, it rests in Him. It trusts everything to Him. It commits everything to His merit, because Christ is the object of true saving faith. This faith is marked by steadfastness of profession. Very clearly, the Colossians professed their faith because we read that Paul heard of this. They were professing it by word and by life. And clearly, not only did they profess it, but they were holding on to it despite some vicious attacks and despite some specious heresies that were being pushed their way. And again, I come back to this. This is clear from how Paul addressed the heresies and the heretics. All he had to do to deal with the problems in Colossae was to show them that those who were afflicting them, opposing Epaphras, were not holding to Christ the head. And I honestly believe that he did that because once he did so, once these people could see these Judaizers, far from being advanced Christians as they want us to believe, they're not holding to Christ the head. As soon as they saw that, that was enough to brand them as heretics, henceforth to be repudiated. Why? Because these people had a grip of the gospel and they were not going to move from it. God, make us a people like that. And then this faith expressed these believers' union and communion with Christ. Again, come back to the little phrase, their faith was in Christ Jesus. Not only was it in Him because it rested on Him, but this term goes further than the object to speak of the sphere in which faith was exercised. Faith is always exercised in Christ. What does that mean? In Christ means union. Faith is always exercised in union with Christ. Faith is also exercised in Christ in that it's exercised in communion with Christ. And this is a very important aspect of true faith. You see, it is not any kind of make-believe. It's very hard to get this over. And again, the subject's too big to deal with just with a passing reference or two. I've dealt with this a little in the past. We are all, unfortunately, afflicted in our thinking, to some extent, whether we realize it or not, we're afflicted with the follies and the falseness of the definition of faith that has been popularized by charismaniacs. I think that's a good term for them too. Where faith becomes a sort of, if you make yourself believe it, if you want it badly enough, that's faith. And it's not. There are people telling themselves that they're exercising faith, quite apart from the Bible, quite apart from any conviction of the Spirit in their heart. It is purely and simply their desire. And any time your desire enters into any issue, you've got to be very careful, because it's like putting a particular pair of lenses in front of your eyes. Whatever the lens, it's going to dictate how you're going to see things. Got to be very careful here. Faith is a response, basically, to a divine revelation. Always. It's a response to a divine revelation. And where there's no such revelation, you've got to tread very carefully. Not only is it a response to a divine revelation, but faith is born out of our being in Christ. And faith grows out of our communion with Christ. Paul speaks in chapter 2 and verse 12, if you cross-reference it, to the faith, or of the faith of the operation of God. It's a very difficult little phrase. It may mean faith in his operation, or it may mean faith that is produced by the operation of God. I think that the latter is certainly Paul's meaning in Ephesians 1, which is more or less parallel expression, where he says, I pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How do we believe? We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Faith is produced by the operation of God. In union with Christ, in communion with Christ. That's why it is important for Christians to spend time in the Word and in prayer, getting alone with the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.